Your first marriage will probably be the best marriage it can ever be if it's restored in the Lord. The percent of divorces from second marriages is higher than from first marriages. I'm not sure why. It may be that when a person has run from a problem one time, it is easier to run from it again. We're discussing Bible principles on divorce and reconciliation. But someone may say, it's come too late for me. I'm already divorced. Does God have any instruction for me to follow? And I respond, yes. God loves you and is concerned that you have as full a life as possible. He's not deserted you regardless of the situations which brought about the breakup of your marriage. And here are some principles which will assist you to move on from here. 1. Accept responsibility for your part of the problems which ended in the dissolution of your covenant of marriage. It's so easy to place all the blame on the other person. That practice began in the Garden of Eden when Adam blamed Eve and Eve blamed the serpent for their sin. But the truth is, there is no totally innocent person. Your mate may have initiated the problem and may have persisted in it, but you must consider your response to it. You'll never settle the issue in your own heart or with other persons involved as long as you feel self-pity and cast blame. It was his or her action plus your reaction which brought the issue to the point of divorce. Admit that to yourself and to God, and then you're ready to take the next step in recovery. 2, gain a clear conscience with your mate and any other persons involved. Do not leave even one person with a basis to say, you wronged me and made no effort to make it right. Jesus said 2 things about offenses. First, he said, if I am the offender, I'm to make the first move to set it right with the offended person. And second, he said, if I am the offended, I'm to make the first move to set it right with the person who has offended me. So whether I am the offender or the offended, I am to move toward the other person and seek to reconcile the differences. Now, I know that will not be easy, but it is essential. You can never have a clear conscience until those offenses are dealt with and reconciled. It may be the other person will refuse to be reconciled, but you have freed your conscience. You've done all you can and are free before God. 3, build loyalty in the children toward your mate. That person remains a parent to the children, even though an unworthy or undeserving parent. The Bible warns, look diligently, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You can transplant a root of bitterness from your heart to the hearts of your children, and it will defile them for years to come. The parent who is gone may be unworthy, but he or she is still the children's parent. So instead of bitterness, show the grace of God in your attitude toward the partner who wronged you. What a testimony that will be to your family and friends, and it will teach the children how to deal with others who may wrong them later in life. 4, commit every need to God. Now, divorce does not really solve problems. It only changes one set of problems for another. The divorced person is often faced with depression and loneliness. There may be financial problems, as the man may be required to pay alimony, and the wife may not have sufficient income to pay for all her needs. There are sexual desires which are unsatisfied and no prospect to meet those needs. Some persons of lower moral standards may consider you fair game as a divorcee. There may be condemnation, either spoken or silent, by family or friends accusing you of failure in the marriage. The problems may become overwhelming, but commit every need to God, every situation to Him. Look to Him for help in dealing with them, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. 5, seek counsel from mature Christians. They can support you with prayer and with sympathetic advice. It is best to seek counsel from a person of your own sex, however. There is a danger of your transferring emotional dependence upon a kind and understanding counselor of a different sex. So as a precaution, seek a Christian who is of your own sex, and that will keep you from the possibility of an improper involvement with one to whom you are not married. But be sure, the person from whom you seek counsel is committed to Bible standards of marriage. You can be led astray very easily, being in a vulnerable emotional state by someone whose principles are taken from outside Holy Scriptures. 6. Commit your life to a ministry of helping others. You'll learn valuable lessons from your experiences, and you can help someone else head off the tragic breakup of another marriage. But let the Lord bring them to you. Do not intrude into situations where you are not invited. Your tragedy does not automatically make you a specialist on the subject. And if you show the Spirit of Christ in dealing with your problems, others will notice it and seek you out for counsel. The key is to be an example of how a Christian handles such issues and to stay available when asked to help another person. Uninvited counsel is seldom received. And if you intrude where you're not invited, you'll probably isolate the other person and discourage your own spirit. Now, God knows whom He can use in this ministry. So just be available for Him to open doors for you and enter when He opens them. And you can be a blessing in every case where He gives you opportunity to serve another hurting person. 7. Restore your marriage if at all possible. God permits divorced people to remarry if no other marriage has been contracted in the interim. Your first marriage will probably be the best marriage it can ever be if it's restored in the Lord. Now, one problem with a second marriage, that is, to a person different than your first mate, is that the second marriage is more subject to breakup than is the first marriage. The percent of divorces from second marriages is higher than from first marriages. I'm not sure why. It may be that when a person has run from a problem one time, it is easier to run from it again. But the percentage of divorces continue to rise with a third marriage. So you'll be much better off to try to restore your marriage than seeking to find a second partner whom you hope will be better than the first. I've observed that many times the second partner one chooses has the same problems as the first partner. So take care. The home and marriage is under demonic attack today. Faithful Christians, even ministers of the gospel, are falling. The low standards of current society require an emphasis on the biblical standards of marriage if our society is to survive with any standards of morality. The Bible says the relationship of a husband and wife is to reflect the relationship of Christ and His church. So set that as a major goal in your marriage. Cultivate the graces of love, submission, devotion, sacrifice, and mutual helpfulness. You'll bring a blessing to your marriage, and you'll be a witness for Christ at the same time. Father, so many who receive these words are hurting because of various marriage problems. I pray You will extend Your grace to them, that You will save their homes from dissolution for Jesus' sake. Amen.